Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
Yes, sir.
Time for the Falcons Report.
Stop! Vic Beasley slams it through the gut to touchdown Atlanta. Julio, touchdown. Oh, my goodness.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report on Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey, man.
Glad to have you listening on a Wednesday. We had a great conversation with Mike Mayock from NFL Network. If you missed it, 6:20, you can catch it. And we'll let you hear a couple of things that he had to say in that interview coming up in just a few minutes. Hey, as we've been talking today, a lot about, you know, these draft projections and what maybe Mel Kiper thinks. I will say this. I don't want to use the word excited, but I was glad to hear that Mike Mayock didn't agree with Bill Polian. You know, a lot of times, Mike, when you say things like, well, why are they saying this about this particular quarterback? And we said this. You immediately want to go down racial lines where you go, well, these things are said about black quarterbacks when they have to change positions. And it's not about that. I just think the kid has been really good at the collegiate level and deserves an opportunity to see if he can play that position at the next level.
Like I said, Bill Polian, I get it. If you want to be like the hot take guy, and I can't believe at his advanced age he's become that guy for ESPN. Like in his heart of hearts, that's what he feels from a purely talent evaluation standpoint. Okay, it just seems a little strange because the guy won a Heisman. Now, again, Heisman trophies do not equate to NFL success. You can have an entire show about busters in the NFL that won Heismans. But I've seen enough of this guy's skill set to know there's a place in this dude in the NFL. You feel maybe he's got to be brought along a little bit differently, like some other players, like Baker Mayfield. You can't just throw him out to the Wolves in New York or Cleveland. That'd be a disaster. You know, I think a lot of these guys, part of the reason why, look at DeShone Kizer last year from Notre Dame. First year to stay in school another year. Then you come to Cleveland, thrown to the Wolves, and now you're going to be wearing a baseball hat the rest of your life. It's got to be the right fit, and you got to come along slowly, hopefully with a starter in place.
And Mike Mayock saying that a team has to adjust their offense. You'll hear that entire interview at 6:20, but I totally agree with him. And listen, the college game, we've seen this. Sometimes the NFL game is ahead of the college game or vice versa, but they steal from each other. And then when things are working, this RPO thing, Mike, where read, you know, run play option – everybody, you're seeing more and more of this. And I think when he makes the conversation about Deshaun Watson and we talk about Nick Foles and other guys in this league, you are, in fact, adjusting the offense to what your quarterback does best.
Right.
It is not you're going to be under center and you got to learn how to, you know, make the 7 to 9 step drop and this is what we're going to do. I'm going to do what you've already done really well. And we saw Deshaun Watson excel at it. I totally agree with that. Hey, man, let's get to the Falcon Report brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
A large 3-topping pizza, $7.99. Carry out only in as good 7 nights a week at your neighborhood Domino's while you're there or you're online at Domino's.com. How about those amazing bread twists, man? Garlic, Parmesan, cinnamon, those things are money.
Everybody's projecting at 26, and this is, you know, again, you have to assume that we're going to stay there right now. Now, draft night, that could change, but right now, currently, our first overall pick in the draft is at 26, and a lot of people thinking we're going to take an offensive lineman. If you missed it, Mike Mayock saying that the one guy that some people may be talking about as far as interior offensive lineman, kid named Will Hernandez out of University of Texas, El Paso, just a bigger body kid. Mauler doesn't necessarily fit what we're trying to do. Right. And, guys, that's a big part of when we start talking about certain players, do they fit what we do?
Now, unless we're going to scrap the zone blocking scheme, and there's been no indication that that's going to be the case, so you've got to find a guy who's a combination of a big dude who can move. You know, the dancing bear is a phrase Mike mentioned. We've heard that before. You'll hear it about Isaiah Wynn. But in the case of, this dude, is it Hernandez?
Will Hernandez.
Throw him out there west. Just big dude, big space grabber. 340 or something like that? A guy I like, and we didn't get a chance to ask Mike about this one particular individual, but you can go and check out the profiles on NFL.com. Billy Price, center. He's a 312, 6'4", but the reason I like him, Carl, he's a maniac. He's got edge. Everyone always talks about Harvey Dahl. How many times we talk about the line? Guys mentioned the old days of Claybo and Dahl and McClure. Well, this guy's got some attitude, some swagger, but he can move. And if you want to kind of put yourself in the position like we thought we were going to do with Todd McClure years ago with Peter Kahns, he could start at guard, and then eventually when Alex Mack moves on, you move him to center because he's played center for the Buckeyes.
Listen, I think versatility is a big thing that Dan Quinn looks for. We talk about this cross-training and all of that stuff. I still want guys to do what they do well, but there's nothing wrong with setting yourself up for the future, having a guy that played at a high level in college at center, moving him to guard to start his career, and then moving him back to center. I have no issues with that. I like the versatility. Hey, man, as we talk about the NFL draft, so Mel Kiper has us picking Isaiah Wynn at 26. By the way, Wynn is listed at 6'2", 308. We're going to find out in the combine if he's bigger, if he's smaller. To me, again, all that stuff doesn't matter unless a guy can't play. If he can play, Mike, I don't get caught up in the measurables.
And we love Isaiah Wynn, I think, just because, as you just laid it out, he can do. You saw the work ethic. Everybody's, you know, dog tired. Well, you're from Mike Mayock talking about Isaiah Wynn, what he did at the Senior Bowl.
He actually would, and I thought he played it at a really high level at left tackle this year. Went down to the Senior Bowl, and keep in mind, you guys know how late Georgia played into this season, obviously.
Right.
And he was one of the few players that really wanted to come from Georgia or Alabama and come down to the Senior Bowl and compete, and he did a great job at the guard position. He's going to be a late first-round pick, early second-round pick, and I think given where you are with your interior offensive line, he'd be a great fit.
Now, what about interior defensive linemen? Because that's another area where I think we are potentially going to go in this draft. We've talked about Vita Vea. He says top 10 pick, which, in my opinion, you know, everything I've looked at said the guy is going to be a top 20 pick. He might even be there at 23, maybe, when we picked. But Vita Vea is moving up. Devron Payne from Alabama. Maurice Hurst. These are just some of the names. And Taven Bryan out of Florida is another guy that people are talking about. Here's Mike Mayock.
So Vita Vea is a freak. He's a dancing bear. He'll be going, I believe, in the top 10. But another guy that fits what you do is Maurice Hurst from the University of Michigan. I think Taven Bryan from Florida is a guy that could be a late first-round pick, and he's a defensive tackle that has some burst and fits what they do, and I think he's got some positional versatility also.
The first thing I think, Falcon fans, we have to realize is this is not – we're not blowing this up.
Right.
We're adding a piece or two, and we will be as competitive as anybody in the NFL. You want to upgrade, and I get that, and I think that's why some guys look at safety and all of this other stuff. You will address some things in free agency, but you can't address it all, and then you've got to go in the draft and make the right decisions and make the right picks. But, Mike, you know, we had Will Wes Durham on, and he was talking about how many positions are going to be up for grabs if we go to camp. Very few.
I mean, this goes back to that question you and I, I know we say this almost every time at 5 o'clock, is what does Dan Quinn and that staff think about the offensive line? I mean, do we think that they feel the same way about Schweitzer? I thought Schweitzer was terrible. And I got to be honest, Sombrello, it was worse when he came in for Schrader. That created some trouble in those early games we lost against the AFC opponents out of division. I mean, Levitre's always been a little undersized, but we just played as such a strong unit together with Chester and everybody. Mm. And then nobody in a million years, at least not you and I, thought when Chester went away that it was going to be this much of a huge step backwards on the O-line.
Yeah, and again, part of the decision-making is going to be, do you keep Poe? You don't keep Poe, then you draft an interior defensive lineman. Either way, if you think that both of those guys Mike just named are going to be better in year two or whatever, then maybe, you know, you wait to draft that offensive lineman. I don't believe that. I think you've got to upgrade the O-line right now with Matt being where he is in his career. We'd love to hear from you. 404-741-0929 is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can follow us on social media, Mike Bell ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes. Follow this radio show at Dukes and Bell 929 and this radio station, guys, to keep up with what's going on at 929. That's 929 The Game. Our Vision Computer poll is up as well today as we're talking about a variety of things. One of the stories we've been following is this Mark Cuban story, which we'll talk more about coming up. But for those who are just joining us, Cuban fined $600,000 today.
Yeah, and this has nothing to do with all the stuff that's going on in the front office with the harassment and all sorts of strange. That's another thing he's got on his plate right now. But this is about the comments about why they're probably better off they just tank and get themselves a nice lottery position. So $600,000 on top of the $500,000 he got popped for complaining about the refs. We'll talk more about that coming up here. Also, more on these crazy rules that Arthur mentioned that Major League Baseball is at least throwing a trial balloon up there in the air to see how people like us and you, the fans, respond about tweaking baseball. Hey, one last nugget, though, about the Falcons. A lot of guys are hitting us up on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. They're asking us about the free agent market. And I mean, again, it goes back to the point we just made about Schweitzer. I mean, yeah, Schweitzer's serviceable. Garland is a great guy, and he's, you know, he works his butt off. But is he really a starting guard in the National Football League?
No.
I Exactly.
No.
And by the way, Sean Harlow, we don't even know what he is, a fourth-round pick. So these guys are asking, and they keep bringing up all the same names. Sam, the guard from Carolina, I know Sitton just got cut from the Bears, the former Packers lineman we talked about yesterday. But you don't know, Carl, if you got a healthy mid to late 20s guy, right, who's really good, that's not going to be less than $10 million, is it? I mean, everyone just assumes that we're going to go to, like, Walmart and find us a guard to plug in at the free agent market. It doesn't work that way.
No, and the thing for me is, I know everybody talks about, you know, oh, we can just find the going rate for these guys, whether it's Justin Pugh, Jokel, Evan Smith with the Bucks. I mean, all these guys, and some of these guys are over 30, is $8 to $10 million.
Well, that's
at guard.
Andrew Norwell, everybody keeps mentioning him. I got three more texts like the last 2 hours here. You and I talking about the Falcons in free agency. Carl, he's 26, and he's good. Carolina's not going to want to let him go. So, first things first, when Carolina let a good offensive lineman in his prime walk, secondly, he's one of the few guards out there as free agents who's young and he's healthy. You go through guys, you can't go five deep on the list of free agent linemen right now before you start getting injury. Miss this, miss that. Or 31, 32.
Yeah, and that's another thing. And you don't want to do that. That's why, like, DJ Fluker looks so good. He's 26, you know, but you're going to have to pay him. And that's the thing. So either way, guys, this is the decision that our front office is going to have to make, whether they want to address this in free agency. I will tell you, it's cheaper through the draft. It is. If you draft an Isaiah Wynn, that's going to cost you a lot less than it will be to go get the free agent. But are you willing to take those – you know, those learning pains that you're going to go through with drafting a guy and hopefully having him make the transition versus a veteran guy who really knows what he's doing and has already proven himself in the league.
And again, it's kind of like the chicken and the egg, though, right? I guess it is. Or the horse. Which is the better metaphor, the horse and the cart? We got to get Matt's deal done first before we then know what we're going to do with all the money. Because then, okay, if you want to go spend, let's just say for argument's sake, money on an Andrew Norwell, unless you're going to he's going to move the money around to be a buddy. You've got to go and move Claiborne. You got to move on from obviously Don Terry Poe as well. And then you got to go. That means you're trying to find a. See, it starts getting your head spinning because then if you go in the free agent market, then you got to make sure you can find that defensive tackle if you're not going to have enough money to go keep Don Terry Poe.
Hey, man, and speaking of Claiborne, rumor has it Cowboys were interested in maybe signing Claiborne. Now, he killed them when we played the Cowboys. But the thought is that the Falcons are going to move on from him. And I wanted to show you or at least mention to a lot of folks out there who might be interested in saying, well, okay, what kind of salary are we talking about for an Adrian Claiborne? Because I think that the guy that's already on the squad and Tack McKinley is the guy that's going to step in and take his spot. But apparently Dallas is looking at adding him with DeMarcus Lawrence, who's coming off 14.5 sacks this past season. And David Irving, that is, adding 7 more, but they feel like they still need more pass rush. And if Claiborne becomes available, which means the Falcons are moving on from him, rumor is that the Cowboys might be interested in him. He's worth an annual salary of about $9.3 million payable as a 3-year contract that might be worth about $28 million. And the Cowboys are saying, we might look at that. So I think Claiborne's probably gone. He was one of the first guys that I thought with the season Tack had, you can move on from him.
But isn't this kind of funny? Remember we had the conversation with some guys in the offseason last year or this year when we saw Vic Beasley struggle at times? Now, granted, not all his fault because they moved him out of position. But when we would talk about Vic's great year, some guys would say, yeah, but sacks against the Rams. Well, he still did it.
Yeah.
I mean, but I guess some people, and they're hitting us up now, go, well, yeah, 6 sacks in 1 game against a backup guard. No, backup tackle it was, and he was terrible. And the Cowboys had no idea what to do with it. And that's on Jason Garrett and the 18 coaches they have on the sideline.
Yeah, didn't give him any help.
You might want to put a fullback back there, or you might want to run an off-balance line and just forget about another tight end.
Here's the thing. We talked about this with the Dallas folks all week leading up to that game, and we were talking about how much they were going to miss Zeke. And I remember everybody saying it's not the rushing game. It's the passing game in which they're going to miss him in. Helping in situations like that with having Zeke in the backfield or being able to flare out and take some of that pressure off of Dak Prescott, they missed that tremendously. We beat the heck out of the Cowboys. Guess what? They come back this year, and Zeke will not be suspended.
Yeah, and you know what? They might just have to move on from Dez Bryant. I'm curious to see what they're going to do in the draft, too.
I am, too. Hey, man, that's our Falcon Report coming up. It's a crazy idea, but I think it's one that might work.
I don't even know who you are anymore.
We'll have Rich Eisen explain exactly what we're talking about.
What? The game. You know what? Let me just put this out there. Bunker and Jarvis ripped up our line. That's our line, and they're using it in a promo.
Just a tip.
That started with us talking about how Notre Dame plays their ACC football schedule.
Yeah, and they don't want to go all in
plagiarism.
Into the conference.
Plagiarism.
Into the conference, and they just put the tip in. All right, man. Hey, before we get to this Rich Eisen explaining this crazy potential MLB rule, real quick, and we're going to get to, in case you missed it, with Mike Conte. You came back from your trip, and you were telling me about Aunt Matilda, who is very cool, by the way. I've never met her, but just from the stories, but very conservative with the loot, and you told me you were basically trying to talk her into getting a car. Is she getting one?
Just real quick, because during the commercial break, I was getting lit up on the phone. I've created a family situation with my wife. Now, my aunt-in-law, Aunt Matilda, she's a retired surgeon, and being a retired surgeon, she's done pretty well for herself. And she's got the condo down in Florida that we sponge off of every quarter, every chance we get. So when I had my throat surgery last year, my vocal cord surgery, and I needed somewhere to convalesce, what better place than the beach, right? So we became buddies, you know, even closer. She loves cars. She likes sports cars. So while I was down there, I was convincing her she needs to get a Maserati. Apparently, the rest of the family is waiting for Aunt Matilda to kick the bucket and get all the money. Because now we got a situation developing on Becky's side of the family. And by the way, now I told my wife, I go, here's the thing. My dad was a cop. My mom was a school teacher. I have no expectations about any inheritance. When my mom slips off this mortal coil, there'll be nothing in it for me.
Yeah.
And as well, I don't care. But I guess in her family, I guess everybody's just kind of like, oh, Aunt Matilda's going to leave us. I can't relate to that. So I'm like, my attitude is, Matilda, let's go. You know what? You deserve, you're 68 years old. You deserve a Maserati. Go get one.
And she's thinking about it now.
And now we're talking because she's driving over to Brickell Avenue right now to go look at one in Miami.
Uh-oh.
If you don't mind me asking, how old is she?
68.
Okay.
I mean, you know, she could live 20 more years. But I guess they're all looking at how much of her estate is going to depreciate. I don't know. Either way, this has become a thing, and now I'm dealing with a whole family crisis. It's like an episode of Dynasty.
So you told me about that, and I was like, what? What's going on? So actually, what's funny to me is Matilda's going to buy this damn car. She's going to buy the car, and then everybody's going to blame Mike for convincing her that she needed this car, and now it's on.
Because when I bought the Corvette last year, I test drove all sorts of stuff, Audis and everything, and she would come along for test drive. She loves cars. It's fun. So we're like, you know, it's the cool aunt I never had.
Yes.
And I guess I'm driving a wedge between Becky and the rest of her family.
So you do cause more trouble than just that 92.9.
Yes, Arthur. I am a great spender of other people's money no matter where I go.
All right, man. We got to keep an update on that, the latest on Aunt Matilda.
Hey, by the way, speaking of money, the United doesn't have a problem with money, but they did sign Oliver Shannon, who they drafted out of Clemson. The Liverpudlian, that means he's from Liverpool, England originally, signs his deal. So he's good to go. And they are playing tonight up in Minnesota. I know a lot of the support groups are out to watch. I believe Terminus Legion is down the street at Rera tonight, 7:30. It's on the BEIN network, which I know you and I have. I think it's in the 600s on DirecTV.
It is. It's the same channel I believe they were on over the weekend on Saturday when they played.
Or they're streaming at Atlanta United FC?
The website. United. But you can definitely check it out. And, again, we're in this preseason mode trying to, you know, figure some things out. And then Saturday, March 3rd, is match one against the Houston Dynamo. And then they come home to take on DC United March 11th. That's going to be a 3 o'clock kick. All right, man, let's get to this this explanation. Because, again, some of you may go, this is so convoluted. But imagine the idea that at the end of a baseball game, you could basically bring up, all right, forget about the batting order. You could bring up anybody you wanted to. And so Rich Eisen says he was told this by this MLB rule proposal by a Major League Baseball executive.
Baseball is the only sport where by mere randomness and happenstance because of a batting order, the best players are not out on the field with the game on the line. Potentially, you're down by two, ninth inning, you've got 7, 8, 9 up. And that's the way it's got to be,
man.
Right? And you can pinch hit, but sometimes your best hitters are not coming off the bench because your best hitters are your 3-4 hitters who, because of randomness, are not up with the game on the line. Here's the rule change. In the ninth inning only, not eighth inning, not seventh, not extras, ninth inning only, you are allowed to send up to the plate as your first three hitters, whoever you want.
I love it. I love this. This makes the game a lot more interesting. Sam Charlie, does it not make the game more interesting? You're flipping through, and all of a sudden, the ninth inning, and you realize, oh, they're about to run Bryce Harper out there.
Man, I hate this rule.
I hate this rule.
Yeah, thank you, Sam. Carl, by the way, Carl is certainly qualified to speak on this because he worked for MLB and ESPN. He's covered baseball his whole life. Brother, you got to manage your lineup, okay?
Yep.
And if the 3, 4, 5 hitters just batted in the eighth inning and they couldn't get a hit, good job, bullpen. You got through the heart of the lineup. And now you're able to win the game. Let me get this straight. It's interleague play. The Braves are up there at Yankee Stadium, and they're holding on to a 4-3 lead. And all of a sudden, was it Adam Boone? Brett Boone, who owns the manager now? Boone comes up with, oh, we're going to throw Sanchez, Giancarlo Stanton, and Judge right back at you. That is crap. You're throwing 160 years of baseball on its ear. It's not the way it works.
I love it.
It's like an NFL game. You're saying, all right, because you are now down a touchdown, you will not get the ball at the 25 and let you have the ball at the opponent's 25.
No. The essence of this is having the best players on the field or court like we do in the NBA at the end of games. The best players are on the court.
It's a different sport.
In the NFL, the best players at the end of games, all right, you 5 minutes to play, guess what? Aaron Rodgers is in the game. The randomness of Aaron Rodgers missing a series is not there. The idea is let's have the best players decide the outcome of the game. And if they get struck out, so be it. But guess what? I threw my best players out there.
I'm happy
what
for you.
What drama is that going to create? Because you know what? At the end of the day, this is what baseball needs. They need some life. They need some energy. And at the end of games, if I get a chance to watch the biggest stars go against the best pitchers or closers or bullpen guys, then guess what? That's going to create more interest from a fan's standpoint.
If that's what baseball needs to stay alive, then baseball needs to die. Then baseball needs to die a slow and painful death, which, by the way, it doesn't need to change the rules this much. Baseball just had an amazing World Series, just had a great postseason with the Astros and the Dodgers. Before that, we saw the Cubbies battle the Indians. We've had some good ball going on. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. It's a completely different sport. You're not throwing it on its ear. Yes, you got your closer. That's why you save your closer. You got your best pitcher. You manipulate your lineup.
One inning.
Carl, it's not the way it works. You're not taking a rule book that's been in existence for over 100-some-odd years and throwing it out there just because millennials find they get bored with baseball.
Now you sound like the guy who says, why isn't baseball change?
Yeah, changes for speed up the at-bats. Don't give me 6 minutes to grab my nuts and work my wristbands until I step to the plate. Tighten that up. Don't change the rules by throwing the game on its ear in the last at-bat.
There is nothing wrong with being progressive and changing ideas. The problem with baseball for many, many years, including replay, and we could talk about a variety of other rules that they've been reluctant to change, is because of what you just said. Don't be the old guy who says, oh, no, don't change the game. It's 100 years old. Let's be progressive and go, how can we make this more interesting? How can we make this more drama filled? Guess what? In the ninth inning and ninth inning only. So for 8 innings, I still have to manage. I still have to do the things that I need to do to win this game. But in the ninth inning, if I need to run my best hitters out there, what drama is that going to be?
It's not right. You've done the job. You've put yourself in a position to win the game. And now, even though if you just struck out their best hitter, he gets another chance. So 6 at-bats for one guy because he's the best. It's almost like in the NBA now. Why don't you give a guy 8 fouls? Okay, let's change the rules for the NBA finals.
Jordan did have
LeBron
8 fouls.
Gets 8. Okay, I mean, it's bad enough we got 6. It's bad enough we got 6 timeouts. I mean, there's too many things. I can't believe. Are you playing radio or do you believe this in your heart of hearts?
Why would I play radio?
You never do.
I don't even know what that is.
And by the way, I'm not taking a shot because you never do.
I have no idea what that is.
I can't believe you would actually feel this way about baseball.
Yes, because you know what? The one thing, and I think most people would agree with this, is everybody talks about it needing some kind of infusion of something. This is it. This is the infusion it needs. You're not changing the whole game. Second base, you're still playing second base. You're still playing first base. You still got to pitch and hit. In the ninth inning, right, you're creating more drama. I love this idea.
You're basically playing the game the right way and throwing it out the window. Even though you're in a position to win the game, now guess what? You got to play the best hitters again.
What?
That makes perfect. That's really fair. Oh, by the way, it's like NASCAR.
Fair?
It makes no sense.
Who cares about fair?
Or no, you just said yesterday, you talked about how everybody gets a competition trophy. And now because a team is losing, now their best hitters get another at bat for less ups. It's the absolute crap problem with the wussification of America. It's the same thing that NASCAR just did. They've changed their rules so many ways.
You're going to have a heart attack.
NASCAR has changed their rules and moved the target so much, and they've alienated their fan base to the point where the ratings are the worst ever.
Yeah.
And baseball will do the same darn thing.
No. That's NASCAR. NASCAR's problem is they didn't see the future. That's what NASCAR's problem is. Baseball is actually saying we see the future. We see what people are wanting to tune into. And guess what? Here's a great idea for us to maybe attract some of those young folks, those young millennials who are not watching for whatever reason. I just think it adds a lot more drama to the game.
By the way, you're right about NASCAR. One thing what they should have done, you know what people realized when they brought people into the sport like in the 2000s? A 500-mile race is an interminable amount
too
of time.
Long. Too long.
Yeah, but unfortunately, they sold their fans on the 500 miles, and then fans didn't want to pay for a shorter race.
You got to see the future. You know who else didn't see the future? Blockbuster. Oh, we'll just go down to the corner store and rent a movie. Well, wait, what do you mean I can rent a movie from my house and just press a button on my TV and download it?
And by
you
the way,
have to be progressive,
yeah, this isn't progressive
in what's going on.
You're changing the sport completely.
No,
Carl, this is progressive.
No,
this is not a rule tweak. This is insanity.
This is a rule tweak for one inning. This is not changing the entire complexity of how baseball is played. You're not hitting a different ball. You're not using a different bat.
But I just took care of the 3, 4, 5 hitters or the first or the leadoff hitter last inning or two innings ago. The way the game is played, you go through the lineup. That's why we see so many pitching changes because obviously batters get to see the pitcher through the second. That's why the offense explodes in the third inning.
As random as it is, let me ask you this, Brave fans. How many times have the Braves, when they were good, been in a game and you go, man, I wish Chipper was up? How many times? That is why you do this.
All right, so nobody fouls out in the NBA now too, huh? And there's no penalties in the NHL in the last 5 minutes of the game.
I love this rule. 404-741-0929. By the way, it's not official. We're just chopping it up.
You're making me crazy, man.
Rich Eisen explained what would happen. It's a potential rule change in Major League Baseball. I like this. I don't know what you guys are thinking.
Where's the defibrillator?
All right, we'll come back. We'll take a couple of calls, then we'll get to In Case You Missed It.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
Good news for you.
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
It is interesting to see the responses from people. My man Jay Clemens just hit me with the thumbs down on Twitter. Mad Hollis says, Dukes, this is like the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter of an NFL game. No O-line, quarterback has three Mississippis, and then the D-line wrecks havoc. Terrible idea. Here's the deal. You're changing the game itself. You still have to hit. You still have to pitch. And we're talking about this proposed, again, hasn't happened, but a proposed change in a rule to MLB. Let's grab a quick call, then we're going to get to In Case You Missed It. We'll grab more of your thoughts along the way.
And by the way, this is a trial balloon. Baseball, all sports do this.
Absolutely.
When there's something they want to try to get a feel for, they'll leak it to somebody in case it's a newspaper. Some ideas, like it's a radio host you want, a station wants to bring back, they'll put that out there. This is a time-honored tradition, so Rich Eisen was the conduit for this wacky baseball idea.
Yeah, it has not gone into effect. It might. I think they do have a very forward-thinking commissioner at this point. But with that said, Jeremy, you're driving around the ATL. What's going on, Jeremy? Hey, man.
Hey, guys. First and foremost, I want to tell you guys that y'all are my favorite show by far.
Thank you, sir.
You guys are great. But, Carl, you have lost your mind.
You don't like this.
Think about the records and things. Do you want to call Hank Aaron up right now and say, hey, Hank, in a few years, Bryce Harper is going to break your record because he's going to get an extra at bat every single game. Like, all your records are going to be thrown out. The history of baseball will be ruined. Just think about it in that fact. I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys.
All right, man. Appreciate
again,
the call. Yeah, thank you so much. The records. You really care about the records?
Get off my lawn.
Well, the baseball nerds do. I mean you're messing with pressure. Like, you and I make fun of those guys, but the baseball purists, it's all about the sanctity of the record book.
Here's the thing, too. You're going under the presumption that Bryce Harper, as you used him as an example, is going to be able to hit enough home runs to beat Henry Aaron. Just because you get more at bats doesn't mean that you hit home runs.
Well,
if you want to use that example, just because you get more opportunities at the plate doesn't mean that you're going to be successful. Let's not jump the gun and automatically think about reasons why this wouldn't work. Think about reasons why it would.
Well, here's the other thing. The good news is, Craig Kimbrel, you're going to get $175 million a year because closers are going to be worth their weight in gold. I mean, look, I get it. Baseball, like all sports out there, NASCAR is dying on the vine. They've got to find a way to keep young viewers engaged. I get it. This is not the idea. You know what you want to do this? Move the fences. And everybody has a stadium like Yankee Stadium. Everyone can hit 700 home runs. That's one thing you can do without, you know, messing with the sanctity of baseball. I'm like, I don't give a crap about what some guy did when no black players were allowed to play. That's for baseball nerds to chop up. But I do know this. This would be such an overreaction for a sport, by the way, which is seeing a resurgence. It doesn't need to do this anyway.
Let's see what Chris is thinking about in East Point. Chris, you like this rule change or at least the proposal of it? Hey, man.
Yes.
Why?
Ridiculous idea. I have to go with Mike on this one. If you were to implement that rule change, think about it. Under those rules, Francisco Cabrera wouldn't have come up to bat for the Braves in 91. The Yankees wouldn't have had Bucky Dent in 77 or whatever year that was,
right.
Jorge Posada. I mean, baseball, the history books are filled with role players who came up in big moments and rose to the occasion.
Okay, wait a minute. Let's stop. Any manager in their right mind would have told you that if they could have put their best hitter up in those occasions, they would have. Those guys were lucky. They were lucky to get the hits they did and come through for their team. There's not a manager on the planet who would not tell you in those situations, Chris, I would have loved to have had Reggie Jackson up. Or pick the hitter, whomever it might be, to say, man, in those situations, knowing the game's on the line, you don't want your best hitter at the plate?
Look, like I said, guys, if you like this, you don't understand baseball. You're a guy that loves video games, and you think that's what the world has become. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there. I still can't believe where Carl's coming from on this one.
What do you mean you like video games? Why I mean, can't you just say...
The world is not a video game.
Is not video gaming.
I grew up watching baseball that was played in 2.5 hours, okay? Because you wouldn't have 5 minutes. You didn't have all the pitching changes, all the lefty-righty crap. Now, you want to limit that, I'm all for that.
Well, they're doing that.
And that's a good idea, but this pitching clock, let's see how that works, the at-bats. The idea where if you go back and watch a baseball game in the 80s, there was a rhythm to it. And then somehow along the lines, the batter's got to step out of the box after every pitch. And that's what adds to this. That's the way you tighten up the game. You don't throw this nonsense out there because, again, there's a history to baseball more than all the other sports. As much as you and I take shots at it and all the nerds.
No, I don't.
Baseball is the one sport that embraces its history more than any of the major sports in America.
Yeah, I don't. But it's interesting now that you care about the history because you don't want to change the rule. In anything else, we don't care about the history. We think baseball needs to be more progressive. We think baseball needs to speed up the game. Yeah. We think baseball needs to do all these things, but yet when these kind of things are proposed make it more interesting, everybody goes, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't change.
Because it's a radical departure from the basic rules of the game. You want to tighten things up with time and the way the game is played. That's one thing. You don't completely throw the rule book in the garbage, and that's what you're doing.
You still have to get 3 outs in the ninth inning?
Yeah, but you're letting the guys who just got up again get another at bat, which is ridiculous. You've done your job. You went through the lineup. You manage your pitchers. You manage your lineup. And now because you're leading, now the other team gets one more shot? No, they got to play by the rules. You're changing the rules. Just making it baseball like a regular season NBA game. All you got to watch is the last 2 minutes. And let's be honest.
Well, no, you got to get there first. Yeah, don't know how this is going to play out. And by the way, we don't know if all managers would throw out their best guys. I mean, there might be a righty-lefty matchup where you go, you know what? This guy's hit 300 against this particular pitcher. He hadn't had a bat all game. I'm going to roll him out there. We automatically assume it's going to be the best guy. It doesn't play out that way.
Well, if it was Bobby Cox and let's say Ryan Klesko was having a 4-for-4 day, he would not throw him up there against a left-hander. I can tell you that. You're right. Bobby Cox would find a way to screw it up.
Why are you going to take a shot at Bobby Cox, man? Hey, let's talk to Sean in Woodstock, and then we'll get to In Case You Missed It. Appreciate your calls, man. Sean, what's up? You're in the game.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, yeah, I just want to touch on what the last caller said. You don't know who's great until they get it done in the clutch. So there would be no Jim Lyritz. There'd be no Aaron Boone. Sid Bream wouldn't have been sliding across the plate because he wouldn't have never got up to bat. So that's all I got to say on the subject is clutch makes great players, and that's who needs to get their shot.
Yeah, well, listen, you still have to hit the ball. See, everybody wants to change the rules to the degree where you're watching a different game. You're not. Pitcher's still going to deliver the ball over the plate. Batters still have to hit. You still have to get 3 outs. That is the fundamentals of the game.
Yeah, but you just got 3. I mean, you're being
the inning before.
But
you
you're
got
being
3 outs.
Very glib about now how you just throw out the manager's ability to manufacture a run in the last 3 outs.
No, maybe they did, but this gives you another opportunity, which I think creates. This isn't about me. This is about baseball trying to say, hey, you know what? What if a guy's flipping through on any random night? Right? These fringe fans that we talk about, not the hardcore. If you're watching baseball all the time and you come across a game, you go, oh, you're not gonna stop. You're not going to watch to see how this plays out? That's what they're talking about.
But here's the thing about baseball. Look, and as much as, like I said, I'm not into all the sanctity of baseball and all this crap because there's eras where you had the dead ball era. You had eras where the minorities weren't even allowed to play and those records still stand. Here's the thing I do have for you, though. Speed the game up. Couple of things. Call strikes. A guy just hit us up, Josh Barrett, on Twitter. If the umpires didn't turn the strike zone into the greatest mystery in the world,
yeah.
And right, the strike zone is
no joke. That's across the board.
The strike zone is the size of a wallet. In some manner, let's be honest, in some major league umpires world. The other thing with this, and I'm with you as far as we got to do something to keep baseball juiced, but you can't take the rules that have existed for as long as they have. It's such a major departure That's a problem. And for guys just tuning in going, what the hell are Carl and Mike talking about? Earlier today, Rich Eisen on his show said he heard from an insider in baseball. They're just throwing a trial balloon out there, the idea of in the bottom of the ninth, the losing team gets to throw their best three hitters, or the manager would have the ability to change his lineup.
Yeah. And by the way, appreciate all the text and the tweets and the comments. Good stuff, man. And do we know if this is going to happen? Who knows?
No, but it would never happen.
But I do think baseball is looking at all options to create more interest, and I see nothing wrong with that. And for those of you who think that you're fundamentally changing the game, it's still about three outs, no matter what inning or who's up to hit. Hey, we'll come back. We'll hit some headlines next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.